I trust today as we open the Word of God together, that God might encourage all of us and teach us something today we need to apply in our life. You know, it's good to be in church where you can hear the Word of God and realize that it's for me. It's not for the person sitting in front of me, behind me, but it's for me, you know, and because it is. And it's applicable to all of us, no matter how young, how old, our situation, our circumstances. It's always applicable to all of us. Take your Bible today again and turn to the book of Jude. The book of Jude, where we were last week. I trust today as we look at this passage of Scripture again that God may help us today to realize the importance that we have of doing our job, so to speak. And again, thank you for being here today in Sunday school. You got here early. Thank you for being here. Some people come in at next hour and think it's Sunday school and it'll be church. But nevertheless, we're glad you're here today. And just pray. Father, we come today. We thank you for the opportunity once again to assemble together. We thank you for the Word of God that we have to open, to share together. And Lord, we ask you now, Lord, may the Spirit of God teach us today, Lord, what we need to know, how we need to apply it. And Lord, their lives might be different because we've been in your house today. But we know that the Word of God is quick, is sharp, is powerful. Lord, it's for us. It changed us. It will change us daily if we'll stay in it. And God, I just pray, Lord, now as we've come together, you will bless these that are here. Lord, may you supply every need. Thank you for their faithfulness to your house. And Lord, I just pray now, Lord, that you will just meet with us. Have your will and way in all that we say and all that we do. We'll thank you. Be with those again that are out because of sickness or other reasons. If they're traveling, please keep them safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, last week we began our study in the book of Luke, of course, chapter 18. We read the parable there. But in verse number 8, we read this, which Jesus himself said, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" That's an astounding question to me. It's been in my mind for months now. When the Son of Man cometh, when Jesus comes, will he find faith on this earth? You know, when we look around today and we see things happening the way they are, that's a good question, isn't it? Will there be faith on this earth when Jesus comes? There's a falling away, so to speak, today, in the day in which we live. In this age of falling away Christians. I mean, what do I mean falling away? I mean, people that used to come to church don't ever come to church no more. I mean, people that used to, you know, be in Sunday school or not in Sunday school. Used to be in church and not in church. Used to be visiting and not in visiting anymore. There's a falling away. And what's causing all this falling away today? You know, there's a lot of things that cause it, I believe, but nevertheless, we're not focused on that. What can we do about it? What can we do about it, you know, as God's people? You know, and I say this, apart from the grace of God, it could be me. It could be you, apart from the grace of God. You know, only God's grace enables us and helps us to be what we ought to be. And may the Lord help us to encourage one another also to be what we should be in this time. Now, we're going to review a little bit of what we talked about last week. Then we're going to get into verses 1 through 4 in the book of Jude. First of all, we said that Jude is writing to the church, of course. He's writing to keep us strong, to keep us strong in the faith and to defend it, defend the faith. We see he's writing to all believers, not one particular church, one particular group. He's writing to all believers in this context here we see. Verses 1 through 16, he talks about the dangers of false teachers. False teachers, folks, are dangerous. You don't want to be around them. You don't want to listen to them. They're deceiving. They're deceptive. They will deceive you. So we don't want to be around them. Then he talks about, in verse 17 through 25, our responsibility to stand for the truth. To stand for the truth. We also talked last week how all of us, no matter who we are, parents, whoever we may be today, sometimes we have to defend, we have to stand, if you please, with all our strength for that which is precious to us. Maybe our children, our grandchildren, our spouse, our job, our church, our pastor, whoever it is, whatever it is. Sometimes we have to stand and defend, you know, them in our lives. It's necessary. But we that are saved today, God's word and the gift of eternal life is infinite to us. In other words, there's nothing more valuable, nothing more precious to us than the word of God and eternal life. Therefore, it behooves all of us to stand and defend the word of God as his followers, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's necessary. This is a very important job we have, a very important job we have of proclaiming the truth to people today. Do you find it harder today? Do you find it this way, I should say, that a lot of people don't want to hear the truth today? They don't want to hear the truth. But we need to share it. We need to share it anyway, whether they want to hear it or not, you know. Because the truth is the only thing that's going to set them free. The truth is the only thing that sets me free. Therefore, that we need to share it. It's an awesome job. It's a big job, a big responsibility we have. May God give us the grace, may God give us the courage today to stand for the Bible and stand for the truth that's recorded in the Word of God. We need that faith. We need that strength. It's a privilege also as a child of God to be able to stand and stand for this book. The only truth that the world has today, folks, is the Bible. And we're grateful to know that we have the privilege to do just that. Now, the question is, how much do we value God's Word? How important is God's Word to you? How important is it to me today? We need to ask ourselves that question. How important is the fellowship of the church today to us? How important is it to be able to come to Sunday school, to be able to come to church, and to fellowship one with another? Talk with other believers in Christ, you see. How important is that to us? And how important it is to us to obey Jesus Christ, to obey Him. I mean, that's the main thing, to learn to obey Him. So Jude is writing here in the book of Jude. He's writing to motivate Christians, to encourage God's children. He's writing here to help us to recognize the dangers of false teachers, first of all. Recognize the danger of false teachers. He's also trying to motivate us to protect ourselves and also to protect other believers that we know. To protect ourselves from false teachers and other people that we know that are in the faith. It's also writing here to help us to try to win back those that maybe have fallen away. Fallen away. That's a big job to do. It's hard to do. When somebody has fell away, so to speak, and got out of church, you know, and no longer coming to church. It's hard to get people to come back, isn't it? But it's our responsibility to do that. And Jude is trying to motivate us here to our responsibilities as as God's children to do just that. So we see here, this is the like an overview of the book of Jude, what we're talking about today. Now, in chapter, of course, every one chapter, in the book of Jude, we're going to begin reading in verse 1, just a minute. We're going to look at four verses today. We're going to look here at two thoughts today as we look at Jude and the writer here. First of all, we're going to see the burden to warn against apostasy, the burden he had. And then secondly, we're going to look at the need to warn against apostasy. First of all, the burden that he had. Notice in verse number 1. It says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Now, first of all, Jude is who? He's, as he calls himself, who? The servant of Jesus Christ. He's the servant of Jesus Christ. Jude did not call himself an apostle. He called himself a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't put a, quote, a name tag on himself. He said, I'm just a servant. I just want to serve Jesus Christ. You know, he was a plain Joe, so to speak. You know, a plain boy. A disciple, maybe I should say. And he was an ordinary fellow, you know. And he was But yet he had a free spirit about him. He also had a zeal about him. When he's speaking here in this passage of Scripture, you see, we find here that Jude, he believed in not allowing any negative influences destroy the church. He didn't want anything to destroy the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a servant of Jesus Christ. He reveals false teaching, as we'll see later on, in many different ways by the words he uses. You know, sometimes his words are like images. And also they're like his language that he uses, how he speaks about false teachers and apostasy here. He speaks to the faithful to remember the apostles and what they taught. Remember what they taught, the teaching they had. It's good to remember that because they taught the truth. They taught the truth. He writes here as a defender of the faith. He's writing as a defender of the faith here in this passage of Scripture, which was once and all delivered to the saints. We find it in verse number 3. But notice here the author, the servant of Jesus Christ. Notice also, he was the brother of James. The brother of James. So here we find that Jude, like all the writers in the Bible, was just a human being, a human man that God used. You know, it's amazing to me how God can use any of us. You know, but he does use us if we are available. And here's a humble servant of God that God uses to write this book here to inform us and help us to see the importance of warning against apostasy. His burden, Jude's burden. Notice here, who's he writing to? He tells us in verse 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother James, to them, notice, that are what? Sanctified by God the Father. He's writing to those that are sanctified. Sanctified means to what? Set apart. Those that are set apart for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're saved today, you've been sanctified. Amen? You've been set apart. You're to be different. You are different from those that are not saved. You're sanctified. Therefore, Jude is writing to you. He's writing to me. Those of us that have been sanctified, set apart for the cause of Christ. You know what a blessing it is to know I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven. What a blessing it is to know that God has saved me. He has set me apart to be different from people in the world today. He's writing to those that are sanctified. Notice he says, and preserved in Jesus Christ. My, what a blessing to know that. I'm safe and secure in who? Jesus Christ. Not my righteousness, not my works, but I'm preserved in Jesus Christ. He's writing to those that are sanctified, those that are preserved in Jesus Christ. He is the preserver. He's the saver. He's the keeper. He's our power. He's everything. Like we sing in that song, he's all we need in our life as children of God. I'm thankful today to know that. He's writing to those that are sanctified, preserved in Jesus Christ, and notice, and called. And called. Say, Brother Keith, I'm not called. Yes, you are. If you're saved, you've been called. You've been called by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God has called you, has wooed you, drawn you to Christ. You've been called as a child of God to do His bidding in your life, whatever it may be. Teaching, witnessing, maybe singing, maybe whatever it is, God's called you. He's called and saved you. Therefore, there's a need, there's something you can do in your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see here in verse number 1, we see the author. We see who he's written to here. And we see, before now, Jude warns against about this thing of apostasy here. He's settled down, that is in his day, in which he lives, in which he works. He's warning about how it's going to grow. And then he assures God's people that they are kept. They are kept. You know the prayer of Jesus in John 17, verse 11? How Jesus says, you're secure in me. Let's go back there and look at it. It's John 17. You know the prayer of Jesus Christ in intercession here. But I want to read this for one verse. We find here Jude is assuring those he's writing to, those that are sanctified, those that are preserved, those that are called, he's assuring them before he warns them about the apostasy that's coming. He's assuring them that you're secure in Christ Jesus. You're kept, if you please. So John 17, 11, Jesus says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." My, what a blessing to know that today, that we're kept in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're safe and secure. Now, back to Jude and verse number 2. Notice the prayer of Jude. This is his prayer. He says, "Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied." Mercy. Thank God for mercy. Amen. Mercy and what? Peace and love. Notice his prayer here. Mercy. We think of God's mercy. We think of God's goodness, don't we? We look up to God and look at God and thank God for his mercy, his grace, all that he's done for us. God is so good, folks. He's good to us every day. When the weather's bad, he's good. When we're bad, he's good. God is always good. He never changes, you know? Therefore, we need to be reminded of that many times. So Jude is saying, mercy unto you. God's people everywhere, mercy unto you. God's goodness to you. He's trying to shed it abroad to us and help us to see that God's goodness is for everyone. Notice not only mercy, but he says, mercy unto you and peace. Peace. You know, I'm convinced that the only people in this world today that have peace in their hearts is God's children. There is no peace in this world apart from him in us. The world today is in turmoil. The world today is in big trouble, so to speak. But yet, there's peace that abides in the heart of children of God. Peace is an inward look to what Christ has done for me. He lives within me. I have peace in my heart that the world knows nothing about. I have that peace. See? He says, peace unto you. That is hope, trust, the quiet of the mind and of the soul. You know, we can get alone, go into a private place, a room, whatever, and take the Word of God and open it up, begin to read it, and there's peace that overshadows us. You don't even have to open the Bible if you're saved. Just get alone somewhere and sit down and start thinking about God, how good God is, what God is doing, what God has done. And we see and we sense the very peace of God in our soul. It's there, folks. The peace of God floods us. He's given us the peace that passes all understanding, you see. Jude is praying, says, mercy unto you and peace unto you, children of God, as we focus upon this thing of apostasy, of falling away. He's praying for us. He's praying for those that he's going to talk about. And then he says, not only mercy and peace, but love, all these be multiplied. Talk about love. Talk about love. Now, love is an outward look. Okay? Mercy is an upward look. We find that peace is an inward look, but love is an outward look for us today. As we look about, we look out and we see how much God loves us. And then we also see how much we are to love God and to love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the outward look. He's praying for us to have mercy, to have peace, and to have love, and they be multiplied. Now, when these three are multiplied in our life, when we have mercy, when we have peace, and we have love in our life, then when we are confronted with false teaching, we're going to be able to cope with it, okay? But if these things are not in our lives relevant, while we may stumble, we may fall. But thank God for his mercy. Thank God for peace. Thank God for his love that he sheds abroad in our lives as children of God to enable us to be able to stand in these last days in which we live in because of these things that are going to come up. So we see here that what Jude is trying to say to us as far as praying. Notice he says in verse number 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation." Now Jude's desire was to write a book about our salvation. That's what he was going to write about, okay? But we notice something happened. God changed his mind. God changed his mind. God gave him a burden. That's why we call, first of all, we're looking at the burden to warn against apostasy. He has a burden. Has God ever burdened you about speaking to somebody or doing something sometime? Has he? I think all of us as Christians, he has. What happens? Well, we say, well, you know, I'll do it later, God. You know? And the next day or two, it gets, you know, the burden gets more heavier, doesn't it? And after a while, you know, we finally get to the point and say, okay, God, I got to do it. So you just go ahead and do it, and the burden is relieved, you know? But I'm so glad that God does burden us sometimes, you know, to do things for him, you see. So here's a warning. He's trying, you know, he wants to write about our salvation, but God says, no, that's not what I want you to write. We see here the constraining, if you please, of the Spirit of God in Jude's life and directing him what he should write, what he should write. And that is to warn about apostasy, to warn about apostasy. You know, I try to apply this. A warning sometimes is very, very good for us, to warn us about something, you know? And, for example, when we go soul winning, we knock on doors, and somebody comes to the door, and maybe they're not too nice to us, okay? They may slam the door in our face, or they might say, I don't want nothing to do with your church or nothing, and they may go back in the room, in the house. Well, God, there's a purpose for that, folks. There's a purpose for that. And that purpose is not to hurt us. Did you know that? That purpose is not to hurt us. That purpose for that happening at our time in our lives and visiting is God is trying to give us a burden. He's trying to give us a burden for that individual because that individual has rejected an opportunity to hear the gospel. He's rejected an opportunity to hear the good news that we have to share. Therefore, if it aren't to grip our hearts, rather than make us mad and get in the flesh, amen? Because God is trying to burden us. He's burdened us. That's what happened to Jude here. God burdened him. He was going to write about our salvation, which is great, but God burdened his heart. Listen, don't go that route. The Holy Spirit of God led him in another way to confront this thing of apostasy in our lives, you see. So again, when we go out soul winning, we see there's a burden. God gives us a burden sometimes. Even whenever you get a chance to talk to somebody, you get in the house, you talk to them out on the doorsteps, the porch, and you get to even to present the gospel to them sometimes, okay? And it gets down to the point, and it's time now to pray the sinner's prayer, and what happens? They'll say, I don't feel like it, I don't want to do it now, or somebody will come by, a neighbor come up or something, and it's all wiped out, so to speak. Okay? What do? You come away what? Feeling frustrated. I do. Feeling, well, what good was that? You know? But it's just a reminder. God is trying to give us a burden. A burden for those people right on. To go back to them, talk to them again, or, you know, maybe somebody else, you see. Always, listen, I said a few Sundays ago, we need to be soul conscious every day of our life. Every person that we run in contact with, we need to remind ourselves, is this person saved or lost, I wonder? Is this person saved or lost? I say. So we need that burden. God gives us that burden. I'm afraid sometimes I don't have the burden that I need in my life to go out and to talk to people about Jesus Christ. It needs to be my livelihood. It needs to be something I do every day in my life. Hand out a tract. Do something to try to inform somebody about my Savior. We need to do that. And we see here that the burden that Jude had, and we see the burden that we ought to have, and how God works in our lives too by His Spirit, just like He worked in Jude's life here by the Spirit of God and constrained him to write otherwise rather than about salvation. Now notice here we find Jude's plan. His plan was to write about salvation. That was his plan. That was his what he wanted to do. But notice it says, it is needful for me. It is needful for me. That is, bearing down upon me. God literally pressed Jude to write this. The Holy Spirit of God was so powerful upon him, he had to write it. I believe that with all my heart. He had to write it. You know, like all scriptures, is given by inspiration of God. To the writers, what Jude was inspired by God to write this here. So we see now in verse 3, his command. Notice what it was. It was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That's my command. To write unto the saints, to contend for the faith. Contend for the faith which was delivered unto all saints. You see, the Spirit wanted him to write to the saints and to warn them against apostasy, the falling away, falling away. And of course, that comes through false teachers, you see. To contend involves a defense and an offense. A defense and an offense. It's both. You can't have a team without having defense and offense. It takes both to make a team. It takes that in our lives as children of God. We have a defense, we have an offense. Okay? And we need to recognize that too. So we see the burden here is to warn against apostasy in verses 1, 2, and 3. Now, last but not least, we also see in verse number 4, the need to warn against apostasy. The need to. Look at verse number 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. The need here is to warn against apostasy. Not only the burden, but there's a need here. We see this in his life. Notice here his concern. He says, for there are certain men crept in unawares. There are certain people that have come in unawares. Unawares means they have settled down alongside. They have settled down alongside. They just come in and settle down with you. And you don't even recognize it. It doesn't register to you that they've come along. Here we see the ungodly persons have come into the fellowship of the church. And we need to be there. And we see here, he's warning about that. There are certain men crept in unawares who were before of ordained. You know, sometimes when you're out visiting, especially if you go during the weekdays, you knock on people's doors, I don't care if it's Monday or what day it is through Saturday, no matter what time it is, people are always leery today of what people are doing walking around in their neighborhood. I'm the same way, aren't you? I am too. And rightly so. But you'd be surprised at the number of times that whenever you get to a house, you knock on the door, and we've had this question asked to us. First thing they ask us, are you so-and-so? And y'all know who I'm talking about. Other witnesses. Are you one of them? That's what they ask us, you know? And we say, no, we're not. We're not. We're a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to tell you some good news, you know? But they ask that you know, and rightly so. Rightly so they do that, you see, because of people that have crept in so many houses. You know, I have too. I know people, especially ladies that live by themselves, especially. They are prime prospects for false teachers. They'll go to their house. They have the words to say. They have the way to say it. They know how to get into those houses and befriended those people that are in their house and come back. You know what I'm talking about. We need to be there. This is what he's talking about. People will creep in on us, these false teachers. We need to be careful about them. Notice they enter secretly, he says here. They're previously appointed to condemnation, as Jude says here. They're ungodly. They're irrelevant. All these characteristics, all these kind of people, we need to be leery on them. See, lasciviousness. That's unrestrained discipline, conduct. It goes beyond sin into the point they disregard whatever's right. It doesn't matter to them what's right. And this is where we are today in the world, isn't it? A lot of people in the world don't care what's right. They don't care what's right, don't care what's wrong. They're going to do what they want to do, and that's the way it is, you see. We see here these things creeping in today. Can I say this to you? For many years now, we've had people rewriting the Bible, right? Rewriting the Bible, calling it the Bible right on. And this is something that has crept in among us. You can't hardly go to a Christian bookstore today and find a King James Bible. I mean, you had to ask for it. They go ahead and search for it. They don't even know they got it. You know, but that's the way it is. These things have crept in among us. These things that are ungodly. These things that are trying to defeat and destroy the foundation that we stood upon so many years. That is the Bible, the Word of God. And then along come these things about making, quote, Christian movies. Okay? These come along. And what is all this stuff doing? It's still mocking, it's still degrading the Bible. And now on History Channel, they say, I heard the other day about the teaching of the Bible, about the Bible's on that station now, and they have more viewers today than they've ever had because they're bringing up the subject of the Bible. But the sad thing is, a lot of it's apostasy. It's false teaching, you see. It's ungodliness, you see. And now what's happening? Hollywood's caught up on this ideal now. You know what they're going to start doing? They're going to make movies of stories in the Bible. You think it's going to be biblical? No, it won't be biblical. Here it is, apostasy is creeping in. It's coming in. It's coming in all the time, folks. And we need to be on guard at it. Jude is warning us about these apostasies. He has a burden for it. I hope you do. I hope my burden will increase with this kind of thing that's coming into our world today. It's on every hand. On every hand. Sad thing is, some Christians, if the name of the movie has to do with Christianity, they think it's good. And they'll go to an ungodly theater, pay their money, that all they play is trash. They go there and sit one time and quote and watch a Christian film, which is not biblical. I don't understand that, folks. Listen. The truth is what we need. The truth is what we need. Not error. Not apostasy, you see. And we need to be careful where we go and what we do, you see. Apostasy is a deliberate rejection of Christ's deity and his atoning blood for my sins. That's what it is. Rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be watching out for this. The message of Jude is certainly unknown in many people of the world today. You know that? It's unknown. We see that he emphasizes the Lord will certainly judge those that intrude and corrupt churches. God is going to judge those people. He's going to judge them, you see. Some of the most beautiful statements we find are found in the book of Jude. Look at verse number 1. We just read it a while ago. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. There's no more precious words than that. You've been sanctified. You've been preserved. You've been called. You're a child of God. He's writing to us. Wonderful words we have here to see. Jude's message of judgment is certainly relevant of people today in which we live in our time. It really is. You see, the message strikes our world today. You know how it strikes them? As we're being intolerant and we're unloving when the truth is presented. You know, sometimes the truth does hurt, doesn't it? I've been hurt by the truth a lot. Thank God for the truth, though. Amen? I'm thankful that I have been hurt sometimes because I needed to hear the truth. I needed to hear the truth, you see. We see here in this short message, it's not to be ignored, but it is to be a warning for us as God's children. A warning against apostasy, the falling away, the burden. God gives us a burden. And the need. We see the need because of things that are going on in the world today. Jude was written that believers would contend for the faith that has been transmitted to you and has been transmitted to me. Would to stand for that faith. Would to stand for that. See, Jude appears to guard believers against false teachers. That's the whole purpose. He's trying to help us, to guard us from false teachers. Be aware of them. Be aware of them. We also see that it exhorts us to be steadfast in our faith. Stand for your faith. Know what you believe and stand for what you believe. Stand for that, no matter where you are, what you do. Christians are called out of the world from the evil, are we not? And from the tempter. We're called from sin to Christ. We're called from vanity to seriousness in our lives as believers, you see. We're called from uncleanness to holiness, to live a holy life. And may the Lord help us to do that today. Yes, His prayer for us, mercy, peace, and love is to be multiplied. May the Lord help us today as we continue next week on this thing of being content, contending for the faith, that is, in other words, to warn against apostasy. Having the burden and seeing the need. That's the whole key. That's the key in winning people to Christ. Having the burden and seeing the need. If I don't have the burden, if I don't see the need in my life, I'll never witness to anybody. I never will. And neither will you. Therefore, we need that burden. We need to recognize the need today to stand up against apostasy, wrong teaching. Next, we're going to see in verse 5, we're going to talk about history a little bit and some of the instances here of apostasy and what calls them. Now, I'm so glad that the Bible didn't leave out anything. You know, He didn't leave out anything. Whatever happened to people, God revealed it to us. He revealed it to us that we can see that we're all made of the same stuff, so to speak. What the nation of Israel did, the United States of America is doing it too. Falling away, rebelling, all these kind of things are taking place, and we all need God's help, folks. We all need God's help. So next week we're going to look at some of these, and we're going to try to describe apostasy. What is it, actually, according to the Word of God? Read and study the book of Jude. Only 25 verses. Read it, and look at it. Ask God to reveal to you some truths from the Word of God as we look at apostasy, the falling away. May God give us a burden. May God help us to see the need to warn against this thing of apostasy in the day in which we live. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the Word of God that enables us, Lord, to know Your heart, Lord, to know our needs, and God, to burden us, Lord, that we don't have much time left. But Lord, what time we do, God, help us, Lord, to be busy for You. Lord, help us, Lord, in these last days to stand. Lord, help us to gird ourselves with the armor of God that we might be able to stand these last days, having done all to stand, to withstand and to stand. So, Father, we commit now, Lord, this study to You. We pray, God, that it's helping people that are here today and encouraging them also. Lord, we all need, Lord, Your help. We're thankful for Your mercy, for Your peace, for Your love that You have shed abroad to us. Lord, may it be multiplied in our lives. And God, may we stand for You, Your Word. Lord, bless now the service we're about to go into. I pray, God, for the music, the singing. I pray especially for our pastor. You give him strength, help. Lord, I pray You give him liberty today to preach what You've laid on his heart. And God, help us to have hearts to receive, Lord, with gladness, Your Word, and apply what we hear today in our lives. Help that one that's lost today to get saved. Encourage your children. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.